Today is the second day of the month of September. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is wonderful to be here with you today as we get ourselves moved into this brand new month. And even as we're moving into this month, we're ending a week. So it's always transition, isn't it? And speaking of transitions, we concluded the book of Job yesterday, which means we have to transition into some new territory. Kind of sticking in the same kind of theme, today we'll move into the book of Ecclesiastes. And both Job and Ecclesiastes, as well as Proverbs and the Song of Solomon and some of the Psalms, these are part of a grouping of books that are known as wisdom literature. So this book that we're about to read, Ecclesiastes, traditionally has been kind of connected with Solomon. And there's scholarly debate about this for lots of reasons. There's scholarly debate about lots of things for lots of reasons. But the book probably was originally with Solomon and was translated and updated, and that still happens today as we translate and modernize the language as time goes forward. But we know that Solomon was considered to be an incredibly wise man, in fact, the wisest man in the world. And we've read about his reign and how he kind of sat at the apex of ancient Israel's civilization. He was at the top. Everything went downhill after Solomon. And Solomon went downhill before the end of his life. But we read of Solomon, and he was a very powerful, very wealthy man of his time. He was very much in demand. Audiences with him were being pursued from leaders throughout the known world of the time. And he was able to do whatever his heart desired to pursue, no matter what he dreamed up. Like, he was the king with all of the power at a time when Israel was very powerful, so nothing was off limits to the king. And his dad, King David, had unified Israel and brought them to a place of authority and prominence and power and peace. So Solomon had incredible resources at his disposal. He had 1,000 of the most beautiful women in all of the world as wives and concubines. He had royalty. He wore a crown upon his head. He had unbelievable power, and he had the wisdom of God. And so as we go into this book, Ecclesiastes, knowing who we're talking about here, all of a sudden we start reading Ecclesiastes and everything seems out of character. How could a person who has it all come to these conclusions? Like, we might read Ecclesiastes and think, okay, this is what Solomon has to say at the end of his life. This is going to be a memoir of greatness. It's more of a depressing and hopeless rant. But if we'll stay with it and look underneath it all, go below the surface, Ecclesiastes gives us this very thoughtful, very penetrating look into the human heart. Because we're all pursuing things, right? Dreams and goals in our lives. And there's always somebody to look at as if they have what we wanted and they got it easy. And we're clawing and scratching for anything. It's real easy to get into this comparison thing and begin to think, if I just had the resources, if I just had the knowledge, if I just had the right partner, if I could just get my life and all of its pieces in alignment. But no matter what we get in alignment, there's always going to be somebody that's doing way better. But with Solomon here, we're looking at a guy who, it would be hard to find an example of someone who has more. King Solomon has the power of life and death in his hand. Unbelievable wealth. Like, there's no shortage of resource for anything that he could desire to do. He has all of these wives and women that have been sourced, the most beautiful women in the world. Like, this is a person we could look at from a human perspective and say, okay, that's the top of the pile. There isn't any higher to go in the human experience. Very, very, very few people experience that. We're always able to say, if I just had that, life would be better. If I could do this, life would be better. What if we got it all, though? What if we actually got it all? Then what? This is what Ecclesiastes exposes and explores. Solomon had pursued whatever he wanted, achieved whatever he set his hand to, and then later in his life, the beautiful harem of women from all over the world that he loved ended up seducing his heart away from God and into idolatry. And Ecclesiastes contains these musings of an older wise person who has had nothing withheld from him. And he's reflecting back on the meaninglessness of all of it without God. And so as we enter into Ecclesiastes, let's invite the Holy Spirit to reveal where we're chasing things in exchange for the promise of comfort or life. Chasing things like chasing the wind, expecting these things to do what only God can do. We might find, like Solomon, that there is a time and a purpose for everything under heaven, and that maybe we've been chasing the wind. Because Ecclesiastes shows us what Jesus taught us. We can have the whole world. We can gain the whole world and lose our soul. We can gain the whole world and still have nothing and be empty. A fully achieved life by worldly standards can still be lonely, anxious, and depressed. Having everything without God is having nothing. And so we begin Ecclesiastes chapters 1, 2, and 3. The words of the spokesman, the son of David, and the king in Jerusalem. Absolutely pointless, says the spokesman. Absolutely pointless. Everything is pointless. What do people gain from all their work under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth lasts forever. The sun rises and the sun sets, and then it rushes back to the place where it will rise again. The wind blows toward the south and shifts toward the north. Round and round it blows. It blows in a full circle. All streams flow into the sea, but the sea is never full. The water goes back to the place where the streams began in order to start flowing again. All of these sayings are worn-out phrases. They are more than anyone can express, comprehend, or understand. Whatever has happened before will happen again. Whatever has been done before will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Can you say that anything is new? It has already been here long before us. Nothing from the past is remembered. Even in the future, nothing will be remembered by those who come after us. I, the spokesman, have been king of Israel in Jerusalem. With all my heart, I used wisdom to study and explore everything done under heaven. Mortals are weighed down with a terrible burden that God has placed on them. I have seen everything that is done under the sun. Look at it. It's all pointless. It's like trying to catch the wind. No one can straighten what is bent. No one can count what is not there. I thought to myself, I have grown wiser than anyone who has ruled Jerusalem before me. I have had a lot of experiences with wisdom and knowledge. I've used my mind to understand wisdom and knowledge, as well as madness and stupidity. Now I know that this is like trying to catch the wind. With a lot of wisdom comes a lot of heartache. The greater your knowledge, the greater your pain. I thought to myself, now I want to experiment with pleasure and enjoy myself. But even this was pointless. I thought, laughter doesn't make any sense. What does pleasure accomplish? I explored ways to make myself feel better by drinking wine. I also explored ways to do some foolish things. During all that time, wisdom continued to control my mind. I was able to determine whether this was good for mortals to do during their brief lives under heaven. I accomplished some great things. I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards for myself. I made gardens and parks for myself. I planted every kind of fruit tree in them. I made pools to water the forest of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves. In addition, slaves were born in my household. I owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I also gathered silver and gold for myself. I gathered the treasures of kings and provinces. I provided myself with male and female singers, and the pleasures men have with one concubine after another. So I grew richer than anyone in Jerusalem before me. Yet my wisdom remained with me. If something appealed to me, I did it. I allowed myself to have any pleasure I wanted, since I found pleasure in my work. This was my reward for all my hard work. But when I turned to look at all that I had accomplished and all the hard work I had put into it, I saw that it was all pointless. It was like trying to catch the wind. I gained nothing from any of my accomplishments under the sun. Then I turned my attention to experience wisdom, madness, and foolishness. For instance, what can the man who replaces the king do? Only what has already been done. But I saw that wisdom has an advantage over foolishness, as light has an advantage over darkness. A wise person uses the eyes in his head, but a fool walks in the dark. But I have also come to realize that the same destiny waits for both of them. I thought to myself, if the destiny that waits for the fool waits for me as well, then what is the advantage in being wise? So I thought that even this is pointless. Neither the wise person nor the fool will be remembered for long, since both will be forgotten in the days to come. Both the wise person and the fool will die. So I came to hate life, because everything done under the sun seemed wrong to me. Everything was pointless. It was like trying to catch the wind. I came to hate everything for which I had worked so hard under the sun, because I will have to leave it to the person who replaces me. Who knows whether that person will be wise or foolish? He will still have control over everything under the sun for which I worked so hard and used my wisdom. Even this is pointless. Then I fell into despair over everything for which I had worked so hard under the sun. Here is someone who had worked hard with wisdom, knowledge, and skill. Yet he must turn over his estate to someone else who didn't work for it. Even this is pointless and a terrible tragedy. What do people get from all their hard work and struggles under the sun? Their entire life is filled with pain, and their work is unbearable. Even at night, their minds don't rest. Even this is pointless. There is nothing better for people to do than to eat, drink, and find satisfaction in their work. I saw that even this comes from the hand of God. Who can eat or enjoy themselves without God? God gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy to anyone who pleases him. But to the person who continues to sin, he gives the job of gathering and collecting wealth. the sinner must turn his wealth over to the person who pleases God. Even this is pointless. It's like trying to catch the wind. Everything has its own time, and there is a specific time for each activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pull out what was planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to cry and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to hug and a time to stop hugging. A time to start looking and a time to stop looking. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear apart and a time to sew together. A time to keep quiet and a time to speak out. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What do working people gain from their hard labor? I have seen mortals weighed down with a burden that God has placed on them. It is beautiful how God has done everything at the right time. He has put a sense of eternity in people's minds. Yet mortals still can't grasp what God is doing from the beginning to the end of time. I realize that there's nothing better for them to do than to be cheerful and enjoy what is good in their lives. It is a gift from God to be able to eat and drink and experience the good that comes from every kind of hard work. I realize that whatever God does will last forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing can be taken away from it. God does this so that people will fear Him. Whatever has happened in the past is present now. Whatever is going to happen in the future has already happened in the past. God will call the past to account. I saw something else under the sun. There is wickedness where justice should be found. There is wickedness where righteousness should be found. I thought to myself, God will judge righteous people as well as wicked people, because there is a specific time for every activity and every work that is done. I thought to myself, God is going to test humans in order to show them that they are like animals. Humans and animals have the same destiny. One dies just like the other. All of them have the same breath of life. Humans have no advantage over animals. All of life is pointless. All life goes to the same place. All life comes from the ground, and all of it goes back to the ground. Who knows whether a human spirit goes upward or whether an animal spirit goes downward to the earth? I saw that there's nothing better for people to do than to enjoy their work, because that is their lot in life. Who will allow them to see what will happen after them? Second Corinthians 6, 1-13. Since we are God's co-workers, we urge you not to let God's kindness be wasted on you. God says, "At the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you." Listen, now is God's acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. We don't give people any opportunity to find fault with how we serve. Instead, our lives demonstrate that we are God's servants. We have endured many things: suffering, distress, anxiety, beatings, imprisonments, riots, hard work, sleepless nights, and lack of food. People can see our purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives, our sincere love, truthfulness, and the presence of God's power. We demonstrate that we are God's servants as we are praised and dishonored, as we are slandered and honored, and as we use what is right to attack what is wrong and to defend the truth. We are treated as dishonest, although we are honest. as unknown, although we are well known, as dying, although, as you can see, we go on living. We are punished, but we are not killed. People think we are sad, although we're always glad that we are beggars, although we make many people spiritually rich. That we have nothing, although we possess everything. We have been very open in speaking to you, Corinthians. We have a place for you in our hearts. We haven't cut you off. Your own emotions have cut you off from us. I'm talking to you as I would talk to children. Treat us the same way we've treated you. Make a place for us in your hearts, too. Psalm 46. For the choir director, a song by the descendants of Korah, according to Elamot. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. That is why we are not afraid. Even when the earth quakes or the mountains topple into the depths of the sea, water roars and foams and mountains shake at the surging waves. Selah. There is a river whose streams bring joy to the city of God, the holy place where the Most High lives. God is in that city. It cannot fall. God will help it at the break of dawn. Nations are in turmoil and kingdoms topple. The earth melts at the sound of God's voice. The Lord of armies is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Selah. Come, see the works of the Lord, the devastation he has brought to the earth. He puts an end to wars all over the earth. He breaks an archer's bow. He cuts spears in two. He burns chariots. Let go of your concerns. Then you will know that I am God. I rule the nations. I rule the earth. The Lord of armies is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Selah. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is firmly attached to a child's heart. Spanking will remove it far from him. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for another week. And as the weeks go by, it becomes clear that there are fewer weeks than have gone by already. At least on this journey, at least in this year of our lives. And we thank you that we can mark the time. We mark your faithfulness. We thank you for your kindness and patience with us as we continue to grow and be transformed through this process over time of being made holy and set apart to you, this process we call sanctification. So we open ourselves to you and say, come Holy Spirit and continue to sanctify us, continue to transform us, continue to open our eyes that we might see. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com, that's home base. It's where you can find out what's happening. And so be sure to check it out. There is a thing called the Daily Audio Bible app, and that does everything that the website does and just a ton more. That can be downloaded free from the app store that works with your device, your phone or your tablet, if you have a, you know, if you have a smart device that works with the internet and does apps. Then you should be able to get it. And so check that out. Check out the different sections. The Daily Audio Bible Shop can be found there on the website or the app. And there are a number of categories there to enhance the journey that we are on around the global campfire as we take steps forward each day into the scriptures and through them. And so kind of browse through there. Also the community section, this is where to get connected. This is where the prayer wall lives, so check that out. And if you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if if this mission is meaningful, if coming together as a community each day and taking a step forward and just moving forward day by day, step by step through our lives, if that is a life-giving source for your journey, then thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, DAB family. I need your prayers for my son. He is 18. He still lives at home, but he has been fighting me and my husband about church and God and the way that we've raised him for the last year. And now he has told me that he's an atheist and he doesn't believe in my God. And if he did, he wouldn't serve him. And my heart is broken and I feel like I've failed as a parent, but I believe God's calling me to just hand him over and trust him and just love, show my son love and show the character of God. But I need your prayers. I need, please God, cover him, protect him, bring him back. And I thank you, God, for the prodigal son, because I am the prodigal son and I have come back. And I pray, God, I pray for all of our kids. I pray in Jesus' name that Satan is stopped in his tracks. Please help us, Lord. Amen.
Good morning, DAB family. This is Karen in Florida. I'm asking for prayers this morning for my dear young friend, Veronica, in Canada. Veronica is my son's friend. She is currently in hospital in Nanaimo, British Columbia. Veronica is an addict. My son and her met while being part of the music industry in Winnipeg. She is like a sister to him. My son was also an addict, but by the grace and mercy of our Lord has been clean now for over 6 years. It is only by the grace of God that he is okay, and for that I am truly grateful. But many other families are not so fortunate and blessed as I've been. I don't take that lightly. I'm asking for my dear Veronica for prayers. She has suffered her whole life with traumatic events. She grew up with addictive parents. Her mother is now clean and living for the Lord. I know she is also praying. As a First Nations woman, she has struggled her whole life to find her solid ground. Her beloved sister committed suicide. Many tragedies that most of us will never have to endure. Brian has been reading from Job this week, and one of the things that really stood out was how Job really wanted to hear from the Lord. All of his friends' good intentions were not going to suffice. He needed to hear from the Almighty himself. Only God's unending mercies and intervention can finally deliver Veronica. I only ask that you please pray that the Lord would intervene in a mighty way, that all the demonic strongholds would be broken in her life, and that she would finally be set free. This may be your last chance. What seems very hopeless to me is not too big for our Lord. Thank you for praying.
Hey, family. This is the prodigal. I'm calling to pray for Agent of Grace. Called on the 23rd, I think, and I've heard prayers for you. So I'm praying for you, but this is really for the husbands, the ones who are mistreating and abusing their wives, their life partners, because they can't see through the veil of alcohol. So So I was there, bros. And it sucks. And I was terribly abusive verbally and psychologically. And I, in retrospect, I was crushing the spirit of my angel. And that's a terrible thing. And so one day she simply was gone. Just poof, gone. And I haven't seen her in 7 or 8 years, whatever, since she left. And that's a pain every day. So imagine that woman not there. And imagine her off happy with someone who really loves her and treats her well. And imagine if you called yourself the names you call her and treated her the way you treat her. Imagine being beaten like that every single day. And then ask yourself, is this worth it? Is this what Jesus wants? Am I doing anything right? And I gotta tell you guys, it destroys you. It destroys everything around you. And you can't be the aroma of Christ. You can't even, all you smell like is bourbon. So I would encourage you all to take a step back and imagine that space empty instead of filled with a loving heart, because it's gonna be empty. This is The Prodigal, signing out. God bless you all. I love you.
Hi everyone, it's Christy in Kentucky. I've been a little behind. As many of you know, my beautiful husband was diagnosed with ALS last year, so our days are really busy, and we are just continuing to pray and believe in God's healing for him. I wanted to call in today to say thank you to Bryant for your commentary, especially today when you talked about the aroma of Christ, which Paul talked about in his letters to the Corinthians. I just wanted to say that yesterday, the 27th, I was actually getting ready for my day, and the essence, the aroma of honeysuckle filled the room. And I looked around trying to figure out where it would come from, and there was nothing except that I realized that it was the beautiful Word of God that I was being enveloped in at that moment. Oh, Brian. So today to hear that, it just blessed my heart. So many times I have been out and even just looked at someone and just seen the love of Christ on them. And like you said, a smile. I've asked them, you love Jesus, don't you? And they say yes. It's just amazing how the love of Christ can be exhibited through countenance, smile, smell, aroma. Some of my favorites, patchouli, takes me back to being a teenager. Always has been one of my favorites. Frankincense and myrrh room spray. Oh, family. It will absolutely change the atmosphere of the room. Beitner. Oh, gotta be my favorite. I can't tell you how many times I've prayed over someone and anointed them with Beitner oil, the same oil that Mary anointed the feet of Jesus with. The aroma of Christ. I pray that each of you feel his love today in a very special way. I love you guys.